Okay, let's begin. Paragimel Achar Hadvar Moila Gidal Hanelech Achashverosh Es Haman Ben Hamedoso Ho Agogi Vayinaseyu. The king did two things. He was Gidal and Vayinaseyu. So these two things have different connotations, different levels of being raised. One was in position, and one was in stature. We know, for example, that in the modern world, just because a person has a position, it doesn't mean that he has the stature. Look at the vice president. One of the most mysterious positions in government in our day and age is the position of the vice president. The president of the United States can make out of the vice president whatever he wants. You can make a vice president, and you can dismiss him and not have any contact with him. And then you can make a vice president, you can basically give him control of the entire country. Bush and Cheney. Right? Cheney, his position of vice president was Vayinaseyu. It was a very dignified position. Most other vice presidents, you don't hear about. Biden, you ever hear about what? Yosef was Mishnah Lemelech, and it's not just that he had the position, he also had the stature. Okay, so let's talk about something very, very common today. Biden. Does Biden make use of the position of the vice president to the degree that Cheney had power as the vice president? Power. To nothing.
Power is closer than stature.
So there are two things. There is having the title, having the position, having the office. But then there is the way that it is perceived. And that perception, to a very large degree, depends upon the king, the person above. What degree of stature does he give that office? Bush W. gave the vice president, did not just give Cheney the position of vice president, he also, Vayinaseyu, he elevated him. He was the one that he put front and center to relate to the country. Whereas Biden, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something. You don't see that Obama is interested in Biden leading the country.
When he had to negotiate with the Congress, budget, he couldn't make a deal. They hated him so. So who did he send? He sent Biden. Why? Because Biden was a senator.
Okay, there are exceptions. Okay, in Okanami, but okay.
Had the youth as he served under Bush's father.
Okay,
so he was the older mentor that Mustafa was going to put.
Okay, but I'm just throwing out an idea. There are two things. There is Gidal and Vayinaseyu. You can give a person a job, but just because you give him a job does not mean that there's more to giving a person a job. There's also giving him responsibility in that role. The position, the office itself, brings with it enormous power. But being that you have someone on top of you, you can be stifled. That authority can stifle you. Can say, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. And there are many examples in every single, even in a shul. You know, you can have a rabbi, you can have the president, and there's always the issue. You have the title, but so what? What do you do with that title, or how much power does your supervisor, does the person above you, give you with that power? Here the pasuk says that not only did Achashverosh Gidal as Haman, did he give Haman a position as being, let's assume, Mishnah L'melech, second in control, Vayinaseyu. He let the world know. He let the world know, and he gave him authority, and he put him in front and center, and he was the spokesman, he was the representative, and he gave him responsibility. And this is something which is not, you know, there's always the written law, and there's the Torah Shebichsav, and there's the Torah Shebaal Peh. Both of those things here are implied in the word, in the expression, what Achashverosh did for Haman.
Was Achashverosh like Pharaoh? Pharaoh was a hands-off. Yeah, I'm giving it over. Go see Yosef. I don't want to be involved. Was Achashverosh, because you learned yesterday that when it came to writing the Sefer, Imamash was on top, what was written? Was he a micromanager, or was he a hands-off manager?
Well, it could be that that's all part of the machlokes in the Gemara. Melech tipish haya, melech chacham haya. There's a machlokes in the Gemara who's complex. There are different indications. In the Pesukim, some seemingly indicate that he was hands-on, and some seemingly indicate that he was not involved. He just stepped out. He let other people do everything for him. So, there was both. He was a complex. Everyone agrees that Achashverosh was a complex person. There were conflicting. conflicting ideas and approaches and activities. And Chazal say this right in the beginning: Yeshem Melech Chacham Haya, VeYeshem Melech Tipish Haya. And that expression, that machlokes, really captures everything about the person.
Possibly, you need the official stamp, I'll give you a stamp.
Yeah, seemingly that's
what you want.
But Achashverosh is also characterized as what we would call today a flip-flopper. Someone who kept changing his mind about things. Today one thing and then tomorrow the opposite. And there are a number of...
Okay.
When it came to his personal life, when he saw Homer, so to speak, to make an advantage to his wife, I think he suddenly became very involved. So
Kobe.
That was,
In a Hanami. Okay.
That was important. It's just that Achashverosh was using him in his mind, Homer made him nervous. About, because all of a sudden, Roman, by Laila Ahu, he was lurking in the bushes. And because of previous plots, he said, "Who's there?" And Haman Bar, he's already. So he's, whatever the case is, whatever the scenario is, now he's ready to blame Haman for anything that happens.
He's getting suspicious. Right. He's getting suspicious. It's not the same. Okay. Okay, so let's see. So, Achar Hadam Oela, after Hashem created the Refukah and the Makah, Esther is in place. The plot of Bigson Vaseresh. Now, Haman Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh as Haman Ben Hamdasa, HaAgagi VaYinaser, two different expressions, position and then give him authority. VaYosem Al Kiso, VaYosem Es Kiso, Me'al Kol Chasrim Asher Ito. And here we have a third concept. The third concept is that he elevated him above Kol Hasrim Asherito. Now this is a very, very frightening concept, and I've seen this in my own life. And that is this is if everyone is chashiv, no one is chashiv. Okay, if you have a society, some there's some very brilliant people out there, they know how to play the game very well, and they know that when you have a group of people, they belittle people. They abuse people. You have a group of 20 people, and they want two people. They want two people to stand out. So the way you make the two people stand out is, you don't just lavish upon them praise and say nice things about them. That's not enough. It's good. It works. When two people get a bonus, they get more money, and they get more honor. They have a different title. But the ultimate way to elevate someone is to make other people lower, to put them down. Again, if everyone is chashiv, no one is chashiv. The way you make people chashiv is by being mevaze other people, by saying, you are a nobody. You're a nobody, and you are a nobody, and you are a nobody. But you, I talk to, you're a chashiv a person. Oh, everyone looks to him, the king, the boss, the CEO talks, the president talks. Oh, and to those people he doesn't talk. Oh, he is really chashiv. It's an incredible technique, and people who know how to play mind games play it very well. And this goes on, don't tell anyone, it goes on in yeshivas also, this game, okay? It's not just everyone is chashiv, there are people who are chashiv, people who are not chashiv. Achashverosh melech chacham haya. He knew how to play the game very well. Vayosem eskiso me'al kol ha'solim asher ito. You can make out of it what you want. What I'm saying is not necessarily true, but over here the pasuk is contrasting Haman versus all of the other sarim. It's not enough what it says in the beginning of the pasuk, the gidal. He appointed him to a position of authority. It's not enough vayinaseyu, which we're translating to mean that he gave him authority. He gave him responsibilities to show to him in order for him to develop his position. He did something else. The president didn't talk to everyone else in the cabinet. Everyone else in the cabinet, you needed an appointment. He put them down. doesn't say explicitly that he put them down. It says here that he elevated them. But if you read between the lines, it's not just enough that you are the vice president. I'm giving you this enormous responsibility that no other vice president had. So everyone in the world should see how great you are. And you know what else? You can walk into the Oval Office whenever you want, uninvited. And everyone else in the cabinet can't. Everyone else does not have these privileges. Everyone else, when they come into my office, they're going to be searched by security as if we're suspicious that they're bringing in monitoring devices and bombs and who knows what. But you, when you put other people down, it very greatly enhances the prestige of what people think about the person that does not have these limitations. So Sachako, we have here three different things which are very critical. We just suggested one approach, but you can look in the Mefarshim and on your own from real life examples. You get a picture, three different levels of greatness. Gidal, then there is Vayinaseehu, Vayosem Eskiso Me'al Kol Hasarim Asherito. The third level is to be put everyone else, you're head and shoulders above everyone else. So now, fine. This is the policy. Rashi very quickly. We did the Rashi right yesterday. Achar hadam moela she nivres refuah zol lios l'shul l'Yisrael. After the refuah has been created to be a salvation for the Jewish people, so the refuah is in position. There are many interpretations. What exactly the refuah is? We mentioned yesterday is the refuah Esther, the fact that she is the queen, is that the refuah? Is the refuah that Mordechai now has been elevated to sit in the Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech? Is the Dvarim referring to the fact that Bigson Voseresh, they tried to assassinate the king and their plot has been discovered and foiled, and this was written in the Yikosei V'Sefer Divrei HaYanum Lefnei HaMelech? Okay, so all of these things combined together. There are many other things. There are many other different little bits and pieces that we discussed here and there are all part of the big refuah that was created before in order to be a l'shashua l'Yisrael. Okay, next Rashi Gidel Hamelach Es Haman Shekadosh Baruch Hu Bar Refuah L'Makadosh L'Yisrael. So Rashi seemingly repeats himself. Here, Rashi, the only thing that Rashi adds in addition is the Makkah. Now we are going to learn about the Makkah. The Makkah is that Haman is going to be elevated. Haman is going to present an accusation against the Jewish people for their destruction. Hashem, now that the refu has been healed, now the Makkah begins. Let's see the Targum Pasuk Aleph Bosar Piskomaya Ho'ilein. After these events, Alas Midas Dino Kodam Riboin Kol Alma. Targum here is adding in a piece of information. The Midas Hadin presented itself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chein Amoras, and said the following. Now if we would not read further, we would right away suspect that something bad is going to happen. If the Midas Hadin is about to speak up and say something, we would assume that we have to brace ourselves for what is coming next. But yet, what the Targum goes on to say is something very pleasant. The Midas Hadin says it's not fair. It's not fair that Haman stopped the Beis Hamikdash from being rebuilt. Let's see further. V'chein Amoras. And this is what the Midas Hadin said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halo Haman Rishi'ah. Haman the Rasha, Nechas min Shushan l'Yerushalayim, he has descended from Shushan Habira to Yerushalayim, Levatolah Binyan Beis Mukdishoch, to prevent, cancel the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Levatolah, and now Rabbi Malka Achashverosh Yos Haman Bar Hamdasa. And now, look what else is happening. And now, in addition, Achashverosh has elevated Haman Bar Hamdasa.
Gets a promotion.
Di Mizaris Agag Bar Amalek, who is a descendant of Agag, who is the son of Amalek, who is a member of Amalek, Rish Rashia the wicked, Umanye Rav Al Kola, he has been appointed the master over all others. The Sakin Yos Kursei, he has put his chair, his seat, Me Eloi Kol Rav Rin Vo Naya, above all of the other leaders, the imei that are in his assembly, in his category, period. So far, what have we learned over here? The Targum has thrown out an enormous amount of information. The Midas Hadin is coming before the Ribbono Shel Olam, and is complaining. Haman is a Rasha. It was Haman, and we know through Chazal, it was him and his 10 sons that went to Yerushalayim and succeeded in writing a report called what the Chazal called the Sitna, the accusation that the Jews are planning to rebel. They're planning to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, establish autonomy, and remove themselves from the authority of the Persian government. And this report was presented to Ahasuerus, and Ahasuerus accepted it at face value, and he cancelled the work. He issued a stop order, and the Mikdash was stopped. A terrible act of wickedness. And to top it all off, now he's been elevated to become a position of authority above all of his peers. Now here the Targum notice says, he translates the three different levels that we started with. There is Gidal, there is Vayinaseehu, and then there is Vayosem Eskiso Mial Kol HaSer Masher Ito. So for when it comes to the first one, it says Zumanye Rabbi Malka Achashverosh Yosham Bar Hamdasa. It says Rabbi, he elevated him. Doesn't really explain the significance in elevation. Doesn't give us a translation for Gidal. The second term, Vayinaseyu, he says he was given authority. Umanye Rav, he's been appointed the master. Everyone else has to answer to him. And the third thing is his chair, which simply means just simple honor, his throne, his seat, has been elevated above all others. So the only thing we can take out of the Targum is the word Gidal means a general hakdama to elevation, and Vayinaseyu is the key word. Vayinaseyu, at least according to the opinion of the Targum, means authority. He is the supervisor. All other officers report to him. And the third term seems just to be kavod, that his chair was put in a location that was higher than all others. And in fact, the Midrashim elaborate upon this, that when they sat, we don't appreciate what this means, but I guess the close thing we have is in the Supreme Court, so the Chief Justice sits in the middle. Right? So the one who sits in the middle, that automatically means he is in charge. He is the Chief Justice. I don't know if there's such a thing, if you sit close to the Chief Justice, is there such a thing in the Supreme Court? Is there any significance in where you sit on the bench? So it could be there is some significance, but over here means that it's not just enough that he was appointed to be, he was given, basically his seat was changed to the center, or in ancient times it meant that he was actually raised. He sat above all others, like, you know, in the Senate, the President, when they have the Speaker of the House and the Vice President, they sit above all others. All of the senators sit around in the semicircle, and they sit and behind the speaker on the platform, his position, this was invented at this point in time. So is it just kavod? Is it power? Also, it's not clear, at least according to the Targum. Okay, now we go further. The Targum continues, and it says, Oni Mori Alma, the Ribbono Shel Olam responded, At Kido Lo Ishta Moda Ba Alma, don't have tainus on me. Don't challenge me why I have allowed him to be elevated. Don't complain. Until now, no one knows, no one knew who Haman is. Ad kido, until now, lo ish temoda ba'alma, it was not known who this person is. Pesiku mini, leave me alone. Don't bother me. Adi yis rav, until I allow him to become elevated. The yish temoda l'chol amamaya, and his name will be known throughout the entire world. Umin bosar kain, and then I will punish him. Ispera minei al kol aksin, I will punish him for all of his advice. Aksin means his evil advice. Di aved ihu, ve'av hosoy la'ama beis Yisrael, all of the things that he has done and brought upon the Jewish people. In other words, hoyu tzoreha Larosh. A pasuk in Eicha. Hashem does not want nobody to bother the Jewish people. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows someone to start up and make trouble for the Jewish people, he first elevates them to a position of prestige in order, to some degree, to give honor to Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash gives a mashal that if a person, the king is walking in the street and a lowlife, a beggar, insults the king and says, "You good for nothing." Or I think the Medrash talks about if the lowlife insults the king's son. So what is the king? The king's natural instinct is to kill the beggar, to kill the lowlife. Just this common peasant walking on the street. How dare you insult the king? But if the king will go and kill this person, it's not going to play out well in the public media. They'll say, "Look at this king. The king, he saw a guy on the street. He just executed him for no good reason." Then it's going to be a bezoin for the king to when they report that the king killed just a defenseless citizen in the country. So the king, what does he do? He says, "Oh, let me help you. Let me give you a job. Let me elevate you, and I'll appoint you to a position of power or a position of honor." And then the king will find a fault, will discover a deficiency in his service, and then kill him. And then everyone will say, "Oh, of course, he worked for this. He worked for the Secret Service, and it was on his watch when someone jumped over the gate and penetrated the White House. So of course he deserves to be killed. He's asleep at the switch." So this is what the Medrash says. It's not befitting a king to execute a common citizen for his disgrace, for his insult to the king. The technique, therefore, is to take this person, to elevate him to a position of honor and authority, and then to find the fault in his service and punish him. And the punishment was really what they call it, to punish him for his original sin of insulting his child or insulting the king. So that's exactly what's happening over here. Hashem responds to the Midas Hadin. And Hashem says, this Haman has done a terrible sin. He has canceled the work of the Beis HaMikdash. He deserves severe punishment. But if I take him out now, no one's going to appreciate, no one's going to learn lesson from this. No one's going to learn, no one's going to learn that you don't start up with Klal Yisrael. The better technique would be to elevate him, Gidal HaMelech HaChashverosh, as Haman HaMdas, to a position of authority, and then he'll have a stunning downfall. And the world will take note, and all of the historians will write, why did this happen to Haman? Because he started up with the Jewish people, the Am HaNifchar, with HaKadosh, we started up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, Mr. Rapport?
Question. So, if we learn about him,
yeah,
literally, the fate of Haman is already decided. The events that are going to come. So the whole thing of Klal Yisrael going through the Tannis and doing through the Tshuva and all that. If the Gezeirah is already Kodesh Baruch Hu, then what was the necessity of all that?
There are many layers in events that happen in this world. First of all, what you're saying you should know is the Mefirash Chazal. It says in the Gemara, I think it says in the Gemara in Megillah, Hashem says, "I never had any plan, there wasn't even a Hav Amina to allow this plan to come to fruition." Because why were they being punished? They were Nene Me Oso Suda. The Jewish people, how did this whole thing come about? Chazal said over and over, they went to the party in the beginning of the Megillah. In the beginning of the Megillah, the Jewish people, they went to the party, he celebrated after 180 days, he made a celebration in Shushan HaBiur with the Jewish people, he brought out the kale of the Beis HaMikdash, he put on the Beit HaKohuna of the Kohen Gadol to celebrate the defeat of the Jewish people. It's been 70 years since Golus HaYochin, and nothing has changed, there is no hope, there is no hope for the Jewish people. We're selling the celebration. And who's going to celebrate with me? The Jewish people themselves. They are going to celebrate their own destruction. So that was a very, very big sin. But when they went to the party, Chazal say they had no pleasure from the party. They only went to the party due to public pressure. It was only what's called lifnim. It was just a show. They were just making believe that they were celebrating at this party because they did not want to get on the bad side. They did not want to antagonize Achashverosh. So Hashem said, since your sin was only lefnim, it was only external, it was not sincere, the punishment is all the threat of your destruction will also only be a facade. It will not have any real substance. It's just going to be, it's going to look like that you're going to be destroyed, but at the last minute I'm going to save you, I'm going to cause Haman to have a stunning fall, a stunning defeat. So in Achnami, Chazal actually say what you just said explicitly, that this was never meant to happen, it was just a show. On the other hand, it wasn't a show. On the other hand, this was the real deal. Because if Mordechai did not rally Klal Yisrael to be mispalel, it would have happened. I know my mother used to tell me a story with my grandfather, who was a very young man. He was in Europe. I don't know exactly where he was. He was in the yeshiva. There was a very holy tzaddik. I don't remember the names. And it was right as the Holocaust was beginning. During the Kufa, when the war was when the Holocaust was beginning, and my grandfather, he went into him on Purim. He went into this very holy person and he saw that he was white. And he said to him, What are you so upset about? Do you really think that anything is going to happen to Klal Yisrael? Hashem, look at the beauty of Polish Jewry. Look at the beauty of all the Jews in Europe. Do you really think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow something terrible to happen to Klal Yisrael? So the way my grandfather would say the story, that he took his fist, this person, he was banging with intensity on the table. Did my grandfather tell you the story? He was banging with intensity on the table and he said, in the Megillah it says, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulaabit, Eskol, Hayehudim, Minar, Yad Zokin, Taf, and Noshim, Yom Echad. The Gans Klal Yisrael would have been wiped out. And the only thing that stopped it from happening is Lech Kinos Eskol HaYehudim. If not for Lech Kinos Eskol HaYehudim, it would have happened. Even though there are so many Amorei Chazal, V'Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, and there are numerous Amorei Chazal telling us that nothing terrible would have happened to Klal Yisrael, it's a kasha. It's a tzorachian. But it would happen. It would have happened. You have to do tshuva. So this idea is obviously a contradiction to what it says in the Targum. It's a contradiction to what it says in the Gemara. And this idea is not, this is a story, but this story is built, is rooted in Mamari Chazal. So the answer is, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Life is complex. There are many layers. There are many layers in every single event that happens in this world. On the one hand, it was never meant to happen. It's just a facade. But on the other hand, it's as real as it gets. The Holocaust was as real as it got. Okay, there's no way to make sense of the Holocaust. All of the Gedolei Yisrael say this. There's nothing you can possibly say that could even begin to scratch the surface of how such a tragedy could happen to Klal Yisrael. So how do you explain all of the Haftachos, the Schus Avos, all of the Maisim Tovim, and the Chasadim, the Tzadikim, the Tzadikim, Kedoshim, Ketorah, Kezoya Harakia, that were murdered and tortured in the most brutal way? Look at the Asar Rogi Malchus. Kshtoik, Kach Ola B'machshava. That's what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw Rabbi Akiva being tortured to death. Is there any possible way to explain this? Tzadik, Virala, Rosha, Vitovlo? Impossible. So that's part of the answer. Okay, before we go further, this point, we made this point yesterday, and this point again, is that this is a very critical Targum, because the Targum over here says the one that is coming to serve as our advocate is the Midas Hadin. Notice that. Bosar Piskomo Hoilein Olas Midas Dino Kodom Riboin Kol Olma. If you were writing this Targum, you would write Olas Midas Rachamim. The Midas Rachamim came before the Ribbono Shel Olam and says, how could it possibly be that Haman, he has destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he has prevented the Beis HaMikdash from being rebuilt, and yet he's elevated to such a great position of stature? How does this sit with Klal Yisrael? Don't you have Rachmanis upon your nation? You're adding insult to injury. How do you allow this to happen? Yet, the one that's making this argument is not the Midas HaRachamim, it's the Midas HaDin. This is the Mile of Purim. Purim And Purim, it's even the Midas Hadin. Even the Midas Hadin comes to our rescue. All of the Muadim will be bottled. Chutz Mipurim, Chazal say. Purim will not be bottled. Why? Because Allah, b'machshavtoi, libra oisai, b'midas hadin. When Hashem created the world, Hashem created the world with midas hadin. Hashem saw the world cannot survive. So we have no choice but to fall back on plan B. Plan B is to be mishtatev, to midas hadin, midas harachamim. But when Mashiach comes, when the world reaches its perfection, b'mos ha'olam, the world is going to be restored to a world of midas hadin. Purim, the miracle of Purim was began. Achar ha-devarim ho-ele, gidal ha-melech ha-chashverosh. Now the refu has been created. Now we're going to go through the entire process of Mechias ha-molech and the elevation of Klal Yisrael. It's an incredible targum. Targum opens up a whole new world. Yeah, what is the depth of it? Why is it so? That's another discussion. But look at the facts. The facts are, it's the Midas Hadin that's demanding the kavod of Klal Yisrael. If you deserve it, if it's not fair, it's not fair. Even the Midas Hadin says this is what needs to be done. It's not fair for Haman to be elevated to such a great position of authority. Okay, there's another beautiful idea I came across in this pasuk. Why did Achashverosh elevate Haman? Achashverosh was a Talmud Chacham. Okay, all the Mepharshim do that. They all put into the mind of Achashverosh and Haman. They make believe they knew Shas and Peskin. And Achashverosh, he knew that Mechias HaMolek, in order for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt, there's a prerequisite. And there's a prerequisite for the coming of Mashiach. And that is Mechias HaMolek. A Molek must be defeated in order for the Mikdash to be rebuilt. When the Melech HaMashiach, his role is to destroy Amalek and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And what else? There are three things. So I've got the third thing. But two of the three things that the Melech HaMashiach has an obligation to do for Klal Yisrael is to destroy Amalek and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, which seemingly means that if you do not fulfill the prerequisite of destroying Amalek, you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh was with the program. I'm not going to allow the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. And that's why we're going to learn later, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus V'Yinosin Loch, Adavar, that's Choylik the Malchus. The big issue wasn't Obamacare, it wasn't immigration, it wasn't how to deal with ISIS. The big...
Climate control.
The item that was not Choylik the Malchus, like we have in this generation a much greater appreciation of Adavar that's Choylik the Malchus. You have 100 senators, 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans, and there are certain things that divide the Malchus. The Mamish divide the Malchus. Obamacare, right? That's something which is pretty much 50-50. I mean, there are a couple of exceptions here and there. Immigration. You know, there are certain issues, in government which divide. That's why there are two major parties. They are the Democrats and they are the Republicans. The issue that divided the Malchus in the time of Achashverosh was the Binyan-based Hamish. Obviously, we really lack the historical background to understand what a big deal it was. The Mikdash was destroyed 70 years ago, less than 70 years ago. It was destroyed. And now the question was, should we allow the Jewish people to reestablish themselves by rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer was yes. Koresh said yes, go ahead, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It will be under my authority, but you could have your Beis HaMikdash. What's the big deal if you could have your Beis HaMikdash? And along after the defeat of Koresh, after the Malchus, after Koresh died, and the Malchus was given to Achashverosh, through the advice and the lobbying of Haman and his 10 sons, he issued a stay. In other words, like they overthrew, it would be like today they would overthrow Obamacare. Could you imagine a new government, new government comes in? And they new administration comes in, and they overthrow all of the rules of the past. It's noteworthy. It's newsworthy. It's exactly what happened. Achashverosh says, "I know what Koresh did. I know it gave permission, but I'm now going to issue a stay. We're not going to allow this to be done. It's big, big news. What is happening?" And now he's afraid. Listen, how much longer am I going to be in position? Who knows, tomorrow someone will come along and assassinate me. They'll give me to drink something and I won't wake up the next day. So then the new administration will come into play and then they will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So he wasn't so stupid, Achashverosh. He wants insurance. He wants insurance that its legacy will be preserved. My legacy is, I stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash. I know that it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam, that in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, you first have to wipe out Amalek. So I'm going to make sure Amalek is raised to the highest position of power in this world. And that's going to be a barrier, a legal barrier for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Achar hadvarim ho'ele gidal ha-melech achashersh es haman ben amdasa, ben vayina ha-agogi. We make mention of the word agogi, as all the Mepharshim say, the reason why I mentioned agogi, because agogi was Agag, Shaul, the king of Amalek, who was spared by Shaul, which allowed this entire thing to come to be at this point in time, and therefore by giving stature and supporting the state of Amalek, we're going to guarantee there's going to be the state of Amalek, whatever you want to call it, any acronym you can come up with, and they will have a kiyum, and it'll take, even if you want to reverse, a new administration will come to power, it'll take generations to undo this, their stronghold in this world. And once there's an Amalek, you can be guaranteed there will not be a Beis HaMikdash. So we have another whole idea, a whole new approach, a very significant approach. This is his insurance policy to guarantee he maintains his legacy, his achievement. His achievement is to overturn Obamacare, the big issue of the day. The issue of the day is the Beis HaMikdash. Shall we let it be rebuilt or not? He succeeded in overturning their previous decision. It's not going to be rebuilt. I'm going to have an insurance policy. The insurance policy, as long as there is a nation of Amalek, Haman, who is a descendant of Agogi, now everything will be in play. No matter what, the Mikdash will not be rebuilt. Now, by the way, in the Targum Sheni, It is Miyaches Haman back 20 generations, all the way back to Esav. Mamish goes back to Esav. Long Targum Sheni goes back to everything. Goes back to all his, equivalent to what we've done with Mordechai. Mordechai, we go back all the way back to Yaakov Avinu. Okay, the Targum Sheni, when we mention Ish Yehudi Hayav Yerushan Abu Yishmael Mordechai Ben Yor Ben Kish Ben Shimi Ish Shimini, so we just mention, we pick and choose Kish, we pick the few people along the line. There are 20 generations going back to Binyamin, but the Targum Sheni actually it's Miyaches every single generation, 20 generations back. In other words, and this is another very popular idea in the Midrashim, is Haman and Mordechai, the Targum Sheni is trying to bring this out in a very intense way. Haman and Mordechai are really the battle of Yaakov and Esav. And there are parallels. Just like Yaakov, or there are parallels, or there are things that Mordechai is trying to achieve, which, if you can say the words, the things that Yaakov failed, or Yaakov in his lifetime was unable to achieve. And right away we learn, right away the first significant thing is the bowing down to Haman. Yaakov Avinu bowed seven times to Haman. Esav. And not only did he bow, all of his children bowed with him, and his wives bowed. The only one that did not bow was Binyamin, because Binyamin was not born. He was not yet born, didn't exist, so he could not possibly bow down. He bowed down seven times, and the Medrash says because Yaakov bowed down seven times, that is what gave Esav and all that came in his wake, all those that represented Esav, the power to destroy or to bring to an end the seven Mishkanos and Mikdashos, which are the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu came to an end, we discussed this a couple of times, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv, Givon, Bayis Rishon and Bayis Shein. Because he bowed down seven times, there's a shlita given over to the enemies of Klal Yisrael, even though Nebuchadnezzar and the Pelishtim and all of these are not necessarily descendants of Esav, Enochanami, they're not descendants, but they're his representative. The Sar Shal Esav is the Kolel. He represents it's the United Nations, right? Esav represents them all, and all the people that do the dirty work, later generations, are all representatives of Esav Harasha. So here Mordechai says, "I come from Binyamin, Ish Yimini. I come from Binyamin. Binyamin did not bow down to Esav." And therefore, I will not down. Mordechai lo yichra, v'lo yishtachaveh. He will not bow down. So again, this idea, it's a nice medrash, but when you look at the Targum Sheni, it comes to life in a much greater form. Because the Targum Sheni takes Mordechai back in Perek Aleph, ish yehudi hoyam b'shushan habira, and it takes Haman here in Perek Gimel, and it's miyaches both of them, manish 20, I counted 20, maybe I didn't count very quickly, 20 generations, name after name after name, all the way back to the Sharashim. Don't make any mistake, Mordechai represents Yaakov, Haman represents Esav. They're at each other's throats. They're finding over here worlds. They're finding over here the Beis Hamikdash, the future that the world will take. Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. All of the servants in the gate of the king. This was the command of the king. So here, if you want to learn, there's a fourth degree. There's a fourth kalot. If you want to add up all the numbers, everything is a number game. Four different dargas of gedula. There was the gidal. Number two, vayinaseu. Number three was vayosem es kisa me'al kol ha'sonim asher ito. And number four, to bow down. Koirea umishtachave kichein tziva lo hamelech. A fourth degree of greatness. A fourth degree of greatness. So you could say four, which is five. There's a fifth cup. The fifth cup, you have koirea umishtachave. Two different degrees of bowing down. I saw on the phone question, why daf koirea umishtachave? He was egomaniac, like we can't imagine Haman. If you bow down, think about it, if you bow down, what is the difference between koirea and mishtachave? Koirea is on the knees. You bow down and you sit on your knees. Umishtachave means you go head down. When you go head down, you can't see what's going on around you. When you're on the ground, you spread out on the ground, your head is on the ground. I don't know, I can't see other people bow down. Haman was such an egomaniac. It wasn't enough that they should be mishtachaveh. Mishtachaveh. When you're on your knees, you see everyone else is also on their knees. So you realize it's kavod is only as good as the audience, right? If you're all alone in a room with the president of the United States, and he gives you compliments, and there's no one to take pictures, and there's no one to take video, and there's no reporter to report what happened. Who's going to believe you? Who's going to believe you that you receive this great honor? But if there's the media, the camera is rolling, oh, then there's covet. If you're going to bow down to Haman, very good, everyone is bowing down. But no one knows. No one sees that everyone is bowing down. But when you're koirea, then you're on your knees, then your eyes see, just like I'm bowing down, everyone is bowing down. Everyone. What? Because Mishtachaveh is even a higher madrig, because then you'll say they only went halfway. I guess it enhances the Mishtach. The Koirea enhances the Mishtach. Maybe that while you're being Koirea, you can see other people are now up to the next step. They're up to Mishtachaveh. If everyone only does a Mishtachaveh, no one sees that everyone else is bowing. If you also have to do a Koirea, which means you have to sit there for a couple of seconds, then you see what's going on. There's an audience. There's an audience. Oh, I'm Korea, and I see everyone else Korea. And in fact, I see other people are also being mishtacha there. So when you go home and you tell your wife, you know, this guy Homan, he's something special. Everyone over here, it's not just me who's bowed down to him. Everyone bows down to him. Every single officer, every single person in the government bows down to him. So this was a technique that Haman orchestrated and demanded that Ahasuerus sign off on, that everyone should not just be mishtachaveh, they should also be korea. So you should have the best, the ultimate experience of honor to satisfy his sick mind. Okay, so Mordechai, none of the above. He would not go on his knees, and he would not bow down. It's interesting how we separate these two things. It doesn't say lo yichra v'yishtachaveh. Lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. In other words, that's all part of this idea. Maybe Mordechai, he'll just do the yishtachaveh. I don't want to have to have suffer I don't have to suffer and see other people give you COVID. It's bad enough I have to give you COVID. I also have to watch you receive COVID. I'm not going to come to the ceremony. That's built into the depth of this meaning. Lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. Number, he wouldn't even give him a small amount of COVID. Maybe Mordechai would say, listen, to hishtachaveh, to put my head on the ground in front of you, that's too much. I'll give you a little COVID. I'll shake your hand. That's the equivalent of korea. I'll go down on my knees, but no way am I going to give you the ultimate COVID of hishtachaveh. No, not even korea. Not even that would he do. And then you can learn the other way around. Maybe Mordechai would say, you know what? I'm willing to go down all the way on my head, all the way down, hishtachaveh. But at least I don't have to suffer and see everyone else give you COVID. No, Haman demanded, no, it's not just you have to humble yourself before me. I want you to see everyone else bowing down before me. That also he would not do. He would refuse to budge on any prat of giving honor to this person, this Haman. Now, let's first see Rashi Pasuk Beis. Koyrim u'mishtachavim. Rashi tells us what it says in the Medrash, she'osa atzmo Elo'ah. Rashi is a very important Midrash because we're going to see in a few moments that Targum disagrees with this Rashi. The Rashi quotes a Chazal that says that Haman made himself into a god, into an Avodah Zarah. Lefichah, therefore, that's the reason why Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh, that's why Mordechai did not bow down. Which really opens up a whole new interpretation of the Pasuk. It's not because he's a Sonei Yisrael. You can say about this evil man, he's a Rasha. Look what he did to the Beis HaMikdash. He stopped them from rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That itself is a reason why not to give him honor. From Rashi, it's not mashma that. Rashi would say, listen, he's a Rasha. He's done terrible things to the Jewish people, but he's still a politician, and he's still in government. Kvod Malchus, I'll bow down. That's the lesson you can learn. Even though you do not agree with his policies, I don't agree with his position on same gender marriage, right? That was a very big hot topic. I don't agree, but still, I'll give him the covenant he deserves. If he'll come to my community, he'll speak in shul, I'll give him covenant malachim. After all, he is our representative. The only reason why he refused to bow down is because he made it's halacha. It's pure halacha. You have made yourself into an idol. And Avodah Zarah is Yehoreg V'al Yavar. But if it's just because of public policy, because you're not good to the state of Israel, you've issued a stop order on the Beis HaMikdash, that is not a reason for me not to give you COVID. You've done what you felt is right. You've decided you don't want to support Israel. You don't want to. You want to pass the deal with Iran, right? They have all those politicians. That's not enough of a reason for me to have hatred for you, not to give you COVID. But if you give me an Avodah Zarah, then I have no choice. Now that's Rashi. Rashi is really going out on a limb by saying this, because we're going to see that the Targum and the Midrashim don't say. They say the reason why he did not bow down was because I just don't hold from you. I don't hold of your policies. I don't like you. Or another reason we're going to be introduced, you're my slave. You are my slave. Once upon a time, everyone comes back to this famous incident, and years ago, there was a battle, And Achashverosh sent out his two best battalions. He sent out the battalion under the leadership of Mordechai and the battalion under the leadership of Haman. And they went out and they laid siege to a city, to a Medina, for 3 years. And they only had enough food. They had enough food for three. Each one had supplies for 3 years. But Haman was like a drunken sailor. He didn't know how to preserve, to ration his provisions, and he consumed everything in 1 year. He had rations for 3 years. He consumed it in 1 year, and he was on the verge. His people were on the verge of starvation. Mordechai, on the other hand, was able to extend his rations more than what they needed. So he came to Haman, and he said, "Haman, came and do me a favor. Give us something more to eat. We're going to starve." So Mordechai says, "I'll only give it to you if you'll sell yourself to me as a slave," and he did. He sold himself as a slave, as an Eved Kanani, and they didn't have paper. They were in battle. They had nothing. They had nothing. This goes back. This parallels this of Yaakov and Esav, where Esav comes back from the field, the Hu Oyef. He comes back from committing, from doing Averos, of killing Nimrod, and he's tired, and he sees a pot of porridge. And he says, "Haliteni na min ha'adoyim ha'adoyim azeki oyif anochi." Oh, you want it? Sell me the Bechira. So here, Mordechai did better. Don't just sell me the Bechira. Sell me you. Sell me. I want you to be sold to me as a slave. And indeed, he sold. They didn't have paper, so they wrote the shtar on. They tattooed the document into his foot, into the foot of a Mordechai. Tattooed into his leg was written that Haman sold himself as a slave to Mordechai. So basically, he was a slave. So a slave, you don't bow down to your slave. And in fact, Chazal, this is a sugi. If you bow down to your slave, this is a form of a shichur, a freedom. You can free your slaves many ways. You can free the slave by giving a document to get shichur, or you can free your slave with a statement, or you can do a maisa which shows that this person is independent. Never does a master bow down to his slave. If a master bows down to his slave, this is a form of freedom. The slave goes free. So by Mordechai bowing to Haman, in essence it would be that Mordechai is freeing Haman from servitude, which Mordechai would never do. And that is why Mordechai lo yichra velo yishtachaveh. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum again disagrees with Rashi. Pasuk Beis. The chol avde malko di bisra beis malko. All of the servants of the king that were in the gate of the king. Gachanim le'an derota dihekim behadeh. Whole new insight into what's taking place here. They bowed down to a statue. They didn't bow down. They didn't bow down only to Haman. Haman had with him a statue. Either it was a little one, it was a big one. We don't know exactly what this was. But Haman, when he would parade, when he would walk in the street, he was followed by some type of real idol that was fashioned in his honor, which was a real Avodah Zarah. And everyone would bow down. And then it says, V'sagdin le'lehaman, and they would also bow down to Haman, the person. But according to the Targum, it does not say anywhere that Haman made himself into an idol. Arum Cain, why? Paked Alohi Malka. Because this was the decree of the king. The decree of the king was bow down to the idol that was selected by Haman, and bow down to Haman as well. Umordechai, lo havigachin le'andirata, he refused to bow down to the idol statue. The lo havisigid le'Haman. Why? Why now? Bowing down to the idol, we understand that's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is an Avera of Yehoreg Val Yavar. But why wouldn't Mordechai bow down to Haman himself? Al di havale avad pilach. Because he was a slave of work. The izdaban le betulma dilchem. He was sold to Mordechai for a tulma. Is a basket of bread, the lechem of bread, for I think what's tulma is a container, a basket, I think it means something like that. A basket of bread. He was sold to him years ago during this battle, during this period of time when they went out to war. He was a slave. And the master does not sell, does not bow down to his slave. Okay, so this is a whole new insight into why he did not bow. There are two words, koireya u'mishtachaveh. According to the Targum, koireya is to the idol, u'mishtachaveh is to the person. The idol is of Odazara, the person is because he is a slave.
Okay, there's an important... The difference between gochen and skid is what?
Koireya. Gochen is seemingly is on the knees. On the knees. And then the other word... Sagdin l'chori is mishtashtachava, is bowing down on the knees, is bowing down on all the way down. Seemingly, if he's matching up these two words to the pasuk, I'm assuming that's what it means. I don't know more. Okay, now there's another interesting medrash. This, when I first saw this medrash, I had no clue what it meant, and I still don't know. But I think I'm coming around to a little bit of an insight. The Gemara, Achar, going back to Pasuk Aleph, this entire page, Achar Advar Mo'ele, the Medrash says, Hear Achar, hear her Devarim. Until now we've been translating events, solid events. Esther has been appointed queen. Big son Viseresh, their plot has been uncovered and it was recorded in this Divrei Hayom Lefnei HaMelech. Achar Hadvar Mo'ele, the event, and Mordechai has been positioned, has given a new job to sit in the Shar HaMelech. Events have taken place. These are solid events, historical events, period. The Medrash says, no, Achar Hadvar Mo'ele, Devarim, even though it means Davar, it means thoughts. Dibur is speech. Devarim comes from the word Dibur. And sometimes in Chazal, Dibur has a connotation, not nothing solid, nothing that you have a record of. Talk is cheap. Conversation, which really refers to machshava. After a couple of individuals had thoughts, now Hashem was ready to proceed. Now that itself, even before we go into what the thoughts were, that's a very profound idea. Because sometimes events happen to a person. They say this about shidduchim all the time. A boy meets a girl, and they get married, and the boy says, you know, I knew about her 10 years ago, I knew about her 5 years ago, but 5 years ago, had I gone out with her, I would have not been in a frame of mind, I would not have appreciated her qualities, because I was holding in a different state in my life. And I would not have appreciated the qualities which now I see years later, which now I'm ready to marry this person. Had I dated this person 5 years ago, I would have dated them. It would not have worked out, and we would have separated, gone on different ways. And now, some would try to renew the shidduch, it would never come about. Because it was ruined. Why was it ruined? But now that I never met her 5 years ago, so I never rejected her, or she never rejected me, and now we first come together at this moment in time, now the conditions are right. I am now in a different frame of mind. Nothing to do with events. It's not a matter of an event taking place. It's a matter of being ready. You are in a frame of mind in order for something to happen. That's what the Medrash says. Now time has passed. By this event here is 5 years later. This event, Achar Pasuk Gimel, is 5 years after Perek Beis. Perek Beis, the king, he becomes Melech. 3 years pass. He makes a party. He kills Esther. Vashti kills Vashti. Then another 4 years pass. Where during those 4 years they collect all the nashim of the entire world. He meets Esther, he marries Esther, so we're now 7 years into the Malchus. Okay? And now, okay, events have happened. And now 5 years pass. A vacuum of 5 years. Why was it necessary for 5 years of emptiness to pass? What happened in those 5 years? No event. There is no significant event that happened during those 5 years. All of the significant events happened during Achashverosh's first 7 years of Malchus, really between year 3 and year 7. during those 4 years, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, during, that's really 5 years, that's four slash 5 years, because when he, until he found her, until he married her, during, let's say, during those, that's when all of the events took place. Now, we're fast forwarding another 5 years where nothing happens. Nothing of significance that is necessary for the conclusion of the Megillah is necessary. But the Medrash says, don't make that mistake. It's true, no event took place, but there was a change in the major player's frame of mind. Their frame of mind changed. And the Medrash gives three examples. I didn't prepare this Medrash that well. The three are Achashverosh, had a change of a frame of mind. He matured. He thought Haman had a change of mind, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so let's put it for the moment. We'll come back another time to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Achashverosh. But Achashverosh is this. But Haman is very bizarre. Haman, according to the Medrash, did not just elevate to a position of authority. It didn't happen by itself. Haman had to work. Haman had to negotiate with Achashverosh for his rise. It didn't just happen. It didn't just happen that Haman rose to fame. He had a lobby. He had to go every day to Achashverosh, you know, I need a little more power. They don't respect me. I need you to make a new position for me. He had to become buddy-buddy with Achashverosh, not with Achashverosh, to elevate him to this position. Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh, Vayinaseh, it could be there was a vacancy in government, and it could be there was a lot of turmoil, and they added new amendments to the Constitution, and they've established new laws. Things had to happen. A lot of politics had to happen, and Haman had to do. What encouraged Haman to have the chutzpah? So this is what the Medrash says, because he thinks, who is this queen? She's in position already for 5 years. 5 years she's queen. We still do not know her yichus, her lineage. So he said, but already it appears, this is what the Medrash seems to say, is people were already getting suspicious that she's Jewish. People were already beginning to suspect. There were already signs, already information was beginning to leak. So that is what encouraged Haman. Says the Medrash, shocking thing. Why? Because if she is Jewish, now listen to this, this is really where it gets bizarre. If she's an Egyptian, or if she's a Babylonian, a non-Jew. So big deal. So we're all part of the big, happy family, League of Nations. We're all part of the League of Nations, so she won't have anything against me if I become, you know, Mishnah Lamelech, and I have authority. But in the event that she's Jewish, then she'll love me. Why? Because I'm her brother. Yaakov and Esav are brothers.
If she's Jewish,
exactly. Yeah, yeah. If she's not Jewish, so it can't hurt, right? So we're all part of the League of Nations. All nations, all of the Umas Olam are related to each other, whatever that means. That just means that. But already there was already suspicion. People already, 5 years, a long time. A lot of articles in the National Enquirer made a dent on society. Ulai, she's really Jewish. She's Jewish. Oh, she's Jewish. That means, who am I? I'm Agag. I'm a Ben Acharden from Esav. She's a Bas, Achar Bas, from Yaakov. That means we're brother and sister. We're brother and sister.
If you know that, you know the relationship between Yaakov and Esav.
Okay, but now think about this. And we're living now. I'm reading all this into the Medrash. This is all a little bit of an elaboration of the Medrash. We're living in the modern world. We're living in the modern world. So even though Yaakov and Esav didn't get along, Vayistayim Esav es Yaakov al Bechora, but listen, we're living in the modern world. We could all be buddies. We could all live together. Right? We could all live together. We're a country of immigrants. We can all live together. And the fact that we're brother and sister, is certainly in the modern world, the sophisticated world, is certainly going to be a milah that Esther is going to love me. Even though I'm the one responsible for the Beis Hamidash not being rebuilt. We're in the modern world. She understands this, that it's not a good idea for the Jews. She's now in a position of government, and she's assimilated. She's married to the king. She'll see things from my perspective, and she's my blood relative. My blood relative, she will certainly be pleased to see her brother ascend to the highest position of government, Gidal HaMelech HaChashreish, someone that Amdasa HaGogi, to be elevated to this position. So Achar, hear her Devarim. 5 years have passed. Haman, in the beginning of the Megillah, was cautious. He was cautious. Slow and steady. But be very careful. Achadehu V'Achashdehu. You gotta be very cautious. But now, when 5 years have passed and everything is going okay, hear her Devarim, and he suspected with the good reason that she was Jewish. So the Medrash really says he suspected that she was Jewish, and therefore I'm now her brother. And we live in a modern world where the Jews, that was an ancient history, but really we can now be happy brother and sister once again. Certainly Esther will encourage Achashverosh in allowing me to ascend to a position of greatness in this country. And therefore he lobbied, he politicked, that's the right word, he lobbied in government that he should be elevated Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh Shammah Ben Amdasa HaGogi. Now the Tzurasi Bamedinos, when he brings down this medish, his comment on is, goes to show how sick a person can be. To think that your biggest enemy, but it's not so far-fetched, it's very profound, that your biggest enemy is your biggest friend. If you have just a person out there, you know, he's just an acquaintance. So then you watch out. But when you're dealing with your biggest enemy, so a person, some of the extremes, there's a very close gap between the extremes. When you're dealing with the extreme enemy, sometimes you can fool yourself and thinking, my biggest enemy will be my best friend. It's definitely true in life. Sometimes people come around to that. And because you're my biggest enemy, so in this instance, you're going to have to show that you're not my enemy, you're going to come to the rest, and you're going to be my biggest friend. After hear her Devarim, the thought that Esther is Jewish entered the mind and settled and germinated in the mind of Haman, he now was confident that he can reach he can pursue his career of grandeur, of reaching the top in government. He can achieve Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh Haman Ben Amdasa Ben Agagi. And that's now he rose to power, and now how the whole Megillah begins to unfold. Then the Medrash also does not do another time out of time now, but there's another approach, is Achar HaMelech is Achashverosh had a change in. Remember what the Medrash says? Achashverosh plan change in? Told it another time. Achashverosh, his mind had a change of heart, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Achar HaDvar Mo'el, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also now decided he wants to once again rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and he's going to bring it about through this, into the Purim story. Alright, we will take a short